The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. During the Ed Morse Big Win Sales Event, save up to $17,000 on all remaining 2018s. Just ask for General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. He'll take up to $17,000 off your next Cadillac. Right now, lease CT6 sedans, just $399 a month. That's Cadillac Performance, only $399 a month. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com and get all the details. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right there on Causeway Boulevard, so easy to get to. They have Cadillac certified pre-owned, 6-year or 100,000-mile warranty, 172-point inspection and reconditioning process. So much offered with Cadillac certified pre-owned. Get to edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. They do such tremendous philanthropy at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We're going to hear from General Manager Terrell Hopkins here soon. And we'll also have information on how you can go see Lightning coach John Cooper out at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. How about that, Lightning fans? edmorsecadillacbrandon.com is the website. And here's Ira.
The guy's just phenomenal. He's absolutely phenomenal.
Happy Thursday, the Ira Kaufman Podcast, back-to-back days from the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, where One Buck Talis, the D-Kemper, is here. And here's Ira, the sage. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, my friend. We are 3 days away from the Super Bowl champions coming to town. Eagle fans, I know you're going to make your presence felt at Ray J, but don't get your hopes up. You're only a 3-point favorite. That means the odds makers think this is going to be a tight game. Buck offense is going to score 48 points against that defense. But then again, you don't have Drew Brees, Kamara, and Michael Thomas. So I expect a bounce-back game for the much maligned Buck defense, who will be very jubilant not to have to face Drew Brees.
So you're no fan of Nelson Aguilar, huh?
Well, Aguilar is okay. Michael Thomas is elite. And by the way, speaking of elite, you know, I know they were
dodging
playing
the subject.
I know they were playing Drew Brees, and I know this and I know that, but you can't let a man catch 16 out of 17 balls thrown his way. That can't happen in the National Football League. We may not see that again for the rest of the year from any wide receiver. 16 out of 17? First of all, not a lot of players get 17 targets, but to catch 16. Anybody who has got Michael Thomas on their fantasy team's got to be thinking that we got to be very happy right now.
All right, old news, Sage. Old news.
Old news.
We got a game in a couple of days. All right, come on.
I got new news.
You got new news?
Yeah.
What do you got?
If that does happen again, it will be against the Bucs, because I see a pattern.
Oh,
here.
Listen to you.
This coaching staff that makes everybody forget about the 76 Steelers. They couldn't figure out a way to get Brent Grimes, one of the best corners in the game, on one of the best wide receivers in the game, Julio Jones. And then you and I, with our own eyes, saw Michael Thomas go bananas on them, and they had no answer, none. Now, with the injury to Vernon Hargraves, we'll get to that in a second. With the lingering injury to Brent Grimes, we'll get to that in a second. You're going to bank on two rookies with these coaches who apparently, I don't know, I don't trust them to be able to light a candle right. It's nightmare, Ira, nightmare.
Now, Lee, having said all that, let's acknowledge that the strength of the Eagles is their defense and their offensive line, maybe. Very much diametrically opposed to the way the Saints are built, which is offense heavy and the defense is okay. So what I'm saying is, if the Eagles put 35 on the Bucs without the help of a special teams touchdown or a defensive touchdown, this is going to be a whole different conversation, and I'll be right in Mike Smith's grill. I will cut him a little slack that it happened in the Superdome against the Hall of Fame quarterback. And I'm sorry, Eagle fans, Nick Foles isn't getting to Canton unless he pays the admission fee. Let's get that out there right now. This is going to be a tight game, and it's about time, number one, that the Bucs win in week two after winning the season opener. They fell on their butts 2 years in a row after winning this season opener. Stay focused, and it's way past time that they establish a home field advantage. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Good teams go 6-2 at home. That's what you do. You go 6-2 and split, you got 10 wins. You got a shot. So, Steve, it's going to be a good ball game. The Heat's going to be a factor. Come on down, Philly. Come on down.
All right, Ira, news of the day. No more Vernon Hargraves this season. Shoulder injury, he's done. And the Bucs are sniffing Bashaud Breeland, the cornerback who had the infection in his foot, who had a strong 4-year career with the Redskins and has been sniffing around a lot of teams looking for money. And no Brent Grimes at practice today. your thoughts on the whole Hargraves cornerback situation.
Well, they're in desperation mode. I mean, there's no two ways about it. We thought cornerback was going to be a problem with Brent Grimes and with Hargraves. We thought it was an area of concern. They don't have veteran depth. I think Light's kicking himself for not picking up a veteran. When the rosters were reduced, he didn't do it. And now he's scrambling. He probably wishes he had McClain back, you know, from last year. He had three picks in a limited role. So, look, they're not facing Breeze. This is not a high-powered offense, you know, and they don't have their best receiver Sunday, the Eagles. So that helps
Aguilar's
a little
not
bit.
Be
Jeffrey, Alshon Jeffrey.
Okay.
So that helps a little bit. It's not a high-powered offense. The Eagles, you know, they got a balanced offense, but it's not New Orleans. Maybe they can get by. Foles is a lot easier to sack than Drew Brees. Drew Brees was sacked 20 times in 16 games last year. Do the math.
Yeah.
That's about one a game. And the Bucs got their one on Sunday. Now, McCoy thinks they had him three or four other times, so we'll see. But the Bucs offense, you know, is under the gun here, so to speak. They don't expect 48 points, although Marpet says, hey, that should be the new standard around here. I go, come on, Marpet. Would you get knocked in the head a few times? He goes, that's a worthy goal.
It's a worthy goal.
So, look, the offensive line looked good. The Eagles have a top-notch defense. Even losing Bo Allen and Vinnie Curry, they bring in Michael Bennett. And they hounded Matt Ryan pretty darn well opening week. And Bennett's a big part of that. He's versatile. Dotson's going to get a piece of him. Caleb Benenock's going to get a piece of him. He's equally impactful inside or outside. Not a lot of guys are like that. So I'm looking for a tight game, Lee. And, boy, a 2-0 start would do wonders. What about all these people that said the Bucs are going to start 0-3? Put your hand up again over there, DeKemper.
Yeah, me.
Put your left hand up in the air. They now have a chance to go 2-0. And if they do, all the Jameis Winston and Fitzpatrick stuff is going to take center stage.
If they go 2-0, the only thing that tells me is the offense is going to hang another 40 points on Philly. That's what that tells me. They're not going to win by defense. And this game could be in a snapshot what has been, you know, who knows what's going to happen this year, but what has been wrong with this franchise since they got rid of Chucky? Getting rid of good players. Well, first off, they didn't get any cornerbacks. We've all discussed that before, but you know my pet peeve, Michael Bennett. This team has a short history of, well, actually more than a short history. They've got a history of getting rid of good players for reasons that are just beyond mind-boggling, whether it be Aqib Talib, whether LeGarrette Blount. I mean, you can make excuses like Blount was a me-first kind of guy. Well, how come he got along with Belichick? How come he got along with Peterson? How come he gets along with everybody, but here he had a problem? Bennett, for whatever reason, they didn't want him. Aqib Talib, problem child, get rid of him. This is why the Bucs are the Bucs.
Steve, Bennett.
Revis can't play for me.
Bennett would like nothing better, Steve, than to stick it to the Bucs on Sunday. He still got bad feelings towards the organization.
Yeah, he does.
He didn't want to leave here. He thought he was disrespected. And those feelings haven't subsided.
It's kind of old news
for
Bennett.
Never mind. Everything with you is old
news.
Well,
it is. He played here with the Seahawks. He wasn't exactly ripping the organization when he came here a couple years ago. I don't think that's a big deal.
If he buries Fitzpatrick a couple times, that's not old news.
You'll change your tune over there.
I hear it. You know, and you. I don't understand this obsession you have with Drew Brees. Do you realize last year, you're quoting his sack totals last year. He didn't even throw the ball at the average amount of throws for an NFL quarterback last year. They ran the ball. He was sacked once every 29 times last year. The Bucs knocked him down once. They didn't even
listen to what you just said. Once every 29 pass attempts. Is that bad? Is that bad from a Saints perspective?
No, my point is that the Bucs knocked him down once in 45, and they didn't move him off the spot. It was bad, Ira. Come on.
Oh, you're saying it was bad. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The Bucs were bad. Yeah, once in 45 times attempts. Last year, he was one out of 29. So he's sackable. He doesn't score 40 points every week. All right, Sage, look. The cornerback situation, cornerbacks remind me of two things. Bucs fans remember
that
2012.
Can over there in the corner?
Back in 2012. EJ, Leonard, Danny, and Laquan. Those were the big four names in the Bucs secondary after Aqib Talib was suspended, after Eric Wright had his spa days and all his stuff that he was doing then. So, but you know what? Even when Talib and Eric Wright were on the field back then, you remember the Giants roasting the Bucs for Eli Manning threw for 500-something yards.
I just spit up my coffee when you mentioned Eric Wright's name, but I spit it up.
There you go. Look, the Bucs are hurting at corner. But you've still comes down to the defensive coordinator who you talked to today. You have to be able to adjust. You got to figure out how to blitz. This is not a high-powered Eagles offense. They scored 16 points behind their defense the other night. They don't have their big weapons. You know, what's Mike Smith going to do? You talk to him today. What can you share?
Look, Steve, I finally have to agree with you on a couple of points. I think Mike Smith's in the crosshairs. I mean, let's not mince words here. And this week in particular. Look, I understand they won the turnover ratio, and I understand they scored on defense, and you can talk about all the analytics you want. The other analytic is the Bucs had never given up 35 points and won a game in franchise history.
Is that right?
So you can't expect that. You can't expect that. You gave up 40 points, and what's the number one stat? Scoring. You gave up 40 points. I don't want to hear about the rest. Here come the Eagles, and like Steve said, not a high-powered offense. You got to make a stand. You're playing at home. You got to make a defensive stand. Lee, except for those five games midway through the 2016 season, this has been a very bad defense for 2 years. Agree?
Yes.
All right. Those five games.
Overall, yes.
Those five games in a row, which triggered all the playoff aspirations towards the end of the 16 season, they look like an anomaly. That's an aberration.
Yeah.
You know.
Fluke.
A fluke. There's no excuses on Sunday. Philly's a, you know, Super Bowl champ. You know, this game kind of reminds me of when the Patriots came to town last year.
Took the words out of my mouth.
And the Bucs played well, but they just weren't good enough to win that game. Although they had a chance at the end.
They had a field goal kicker.
And Jameis
missed on O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard ran the wrong route.
Bucs played a pretty good game.
Yeah.
But they came up a little short. That might be what happens Sunday. I'm going to make my pick right now because you guys are going to do it.
Touching Javier.
I'm going to pick the Bucs to win this game. And not to score 48 points in doing it. I think the Bucs are going to win this game 23-20. That's my score. We'll see what you boys say about it.
I was going to be objective and actually give Mike Smith some mulligans here. Believe it or not, one is the organization did him no favors in the offseason. Yeah, they drafted a couple guys, but what were we talking about just
gave
5 minutes
five
ago?
Five new defensive linemen.
And that really stuck out last Sunday, didn't it? You can see the tongue in cheek. You know,
I see it.
Tongue in cheek.
I see it.
But you know, what I'm getting at is the organization didn't get any help in the back, defensive, veteran wise. Yeah, they drafted some rookies, but we know what the track record is with young players in the secondary under Mike Smith. And number two, like I said, number one, I'll give Mike Smith a mulligan there. And another mulligan, I don't know if we call it a mulligan, but for whatever reason, the last couple of years, whenever the Bucs play in a dome, their defense is beyond atrocious. I don't know what that is. But at home, it's not as awful. It's awful, not as awful. So that's when you brought up the Patriots, I was thinking the same thing. So great minds think alike.
There you go, my man. And we leave you out of that equation. Over
well,
there.
Sage, two things before you head out, and unfortunately you have to leave early today. Do you think, and I wasn't in with Mike Smith, maybe it came up, I have a strong feeling we're going to see the Bucs gamble a little bit. I think we're going to see Justin Evans play some nickel. And I think we're going to see the debut of Mr. Whitehead at safety, who showed that he can at least play in the preseason. And somehow that shortfall is going to be, they'll mix things up there. Do you think that's going to happen? And I'll give you my prediction before Lee gives his. I think the Bucs also win this game 2017. I said before we started the summer that I thought the Eagles were the overrated team this year. I bet on the under on the Eagles, and they didn't show a ton to make you think
they beat a good Atlanta team.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But I was going to say they didn't show a ton to make you think they're unbeatable. They are strong in the trenches. I think it'll be a tight game, but I like the Bucs. The momentum, they should still be able to score points here, and they should be able to hopefully get some sort of ground game. I'm not impressed by the Eagles, no matter who's back there for the Bucs.
Mike Smith, Steve, talked about the versatility of some of these defensive players, like an MJ Stewart. Like a Justin Evans who got a chance to play nickel in one of the preseason games, and how that's going to benefit the Bucs, and it could be right off the bat a game coming up Sunday. Like you said, Hargraves is done, Grimes isn't going to play, and you need that kind of versatility. Maybe they do use a Whitehead. Hey, I want to throw one more thing out, Lee. I don't know if you've been thinking about this, but
know her name.
This is directed to Buck fans who are saying, "Woe is me." Hargraves, Grimes, Vita Vea, Unrein, Beckwith, what's going on here? Calm down. Look at the Falcons for a second. Keanu Neal is done for the season. He's one of the top 10 safeties in football, and he's young. a linebacker on the Falcons who I think is fantastic, named Deion Jones. He's fast as heck. He had about 140 tackles last year. He's having surgery this week. He may be back later in the year. He may not be. Those are crippling blows to a division rival. So let's calm down. Teams have injuries. We want to see Vita Vea. I want to see him. You want to see him. He's already out longer than I expected, and he's probably not going to play this week. We'll see.
He hasn't practiced yet, not even today.
But, Steve, at this point, you know, with the depth up front, Vita Vea could be a big addition when the guy gets out there, but when's he going to get out there?
Thanksgiving, maybe?
Ira, before you head out, one locker room nugget that interested you today in any way or something from Smith?
Talked to Adam Humphries a little bit about focus, and I reminded him of the last 2 years winning the season openers, not showing up in week two. Now, both of those games were on the road, week two games. This year it's home. That might make a difference. It might not. What he said is, I hope we have learned from the last 2 years not to take these games at heart and put it behind us and focus on the task at hand. They haven't done that very well for two seasons. They just haven't. And it's a real sign of an immature team that a week one win knocks you off kilter mentally. That's mentally weak.
Well, you know what? Steve has always said this, and he's got evidence to back it up, and you just brought this up about mentally weak. Bill Polian thought they were mentally strong against the Saints. And, oh, by the way, the Panthers have a boatload of injuries, too, including Mr. Olsen. So things are lining up for the Bucs as far as the possibility at a run, but will they have the defense to take advantage?
All right, say goodbye, Sage.
See you guys next week when the Bucs are 2-0.
See, this is classic Ira, right? He has a good Wednesday podcast coming back from New Orleans, so he goes soft in podcast two, right? He mails it in. He rolls over. All right, Sage, get
like
out of here.
The Bucs usually do on week two. Week two, rollover.
TV star Ira Kaufman.
On my way to a beet salad.
It's like leaving a Johnny Carson stage.
As he left, he yelled, I'm on my way to a beet salad. Actually, Ira's taping for Spectrum Sports. You can see him on Bay News 9 late at night on Mondays and Wednesdays, typically. And, of course, the Sage is on Fox 13 Tailgate Sunday before every Bucs game on usually 10:30 a.m. And also Ira Tampa 2. With Derek Brooks, his TV show is On Joe Bucs Fan at the Identity website, the Identity Tampa Bay, and you'll see him on Thursday morning and on Friday. So catch those episodes. You know, Ira Lee, he didn't even tell us what was in him this week. So I'm excited to see. Usually the second episode has real X's and O's stuff, gets into Brooks's keys of the game, so that should be fun.
Well, you're mentioning Ira's spots on various media platforms. There's also Chris Russo's spot, weekly spot, Wednesdays.
That's right. Wednesday, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio. And if you have one of the fancy subscriptions, you can go in and get the replays and all that. So you got Iris, he's saturating the market. The
saturated.
Sage.
Exactly.
Sage saturation. We need to just keep him home. The bye week will be good for him. He can be quiet for a little bit. Of course, the podcast keeps going. Presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. And Lee and I are going to chop it up for a little bit here on the podcast, take you through the rest of it, which should be fun. And if you all want to tune out, you can't do that because we have some special things right after these words from FanRetreat.com. FanRetreat.com is your home for all event tickets. That's where you want to purchase them, at FanRetreat.com. Use your Joe Bucs Fan discount code. You don't have a ton of fees at FanRetreat.com. I'm looking at Bucs tickets here against the Eagles for $110 at FanRetreat.com. You can get any Bucs game, Lightning tickets, concert tickets, Rays tickets, anywhere in the nation. They are a ticket reseller, just like any of these other big sites, except FanRetreat.com includes the option to buy plane tickets, hotel rooms, rental vehicles, whatever you need for your event, for your retreat. That's FanRetreat.com. You can even set up a retreat to get your friends all into making a road trip like we just did for the Bourbon Street Takeover. But for now, if you want to go to the Bucs game Sunday and you want a ticket, go to FanRetreat.com. Use your Joe Bucs Fan discount code, FanRetreat.com. All right, Lee, we're back. We love all our folks at FanRetreat.com, Sean and the fellas over there. Great Florida company. So, Lee, here we are, right? We're at one Buck. The list is long on not practicing Buccaneers. And they've got this new cornerback, not safety, Marcus Williams from the Saints. you know, guy off the street. Doesn't mean he can't play, right? The Falcons just signed Keith Tandy, and we wouldn't sit here and say, oh, he can't play, he sucks, guy on the street. So it's not really fair to say that, but he's still walking into a new system, though I can already hear a lot of fans saying, well, hey, any cornerback can come in, play 9 yards off the line of scrimmage and do his best, right? So do you think this guy off the street, who once had 6 interceptions with the Jets, can get anything done? Maybe they can find their Robert McClain of this year?
This Sunday, probably not, although that doesn't mean he couldn't potentially have an impact on special teams. I'm assuming he's going to play special teams since he's a backup. So, you know, he doesn't know the line call, or actually not line calls, he doesn't know the defensive calls, doesn't know anything. So, hey, you know, maybe he could come in and do something, but generally when guys come off the bench and do something, Justin Evans against the Patriots rings a bell. He's been with the team for a while. That's, you know, it's not like brand new. I would hope so, but man, it just scares me. And I personally, Mike Smith may be one of the best guys, if not the best guy in the NFL. But I know fans are tired of me saying this, but prove otherwise. He's not good with young corners, and now he's being force-fed. He has to develop the young corners. He has no other options.
And, you know, we don't know yet on Brent Grimes, so there's still some hope. We'll see. We're recording this before Thursday's practice. If Grimes is limited Thursday and then shows up Friday, that's great news. But there's really no evidence to support that yet. He didn't practice on Wednesday. And I want to clarify the Justin Evans thing that I said about him playing nickel. If that happens, I just think it'll be here and there. Like maybe
not full time.
No, not full time. Maybe 20% of the time. He still is a learning guy at nickel, and you don't want to take away his strength. But I think they might mix some things up. The best part of this game, which is why I predicted them to win, and we didn't get your prediction yet. The reason I think that they'll win is really just the weakness of the Eagles offense. I think we'll even things out quite a bit. Most people can't name who the Eagles have lined up at wide receiver. And Nick Foles has not played well through
training camp.
And really, if you listen to Ross Tucker, who does pregame for the Eagles, former offensive lineman, he's based out in the Philly area, but whatever, he does pregame shows for the Eagles. He's sort of appalled that at the coaching by the Falcons and sort of implied that, hey, they really could have won that game quite easily. But he also made the point that Doug Peterson is a guy who will routinely outcoach the other team, and that puts the coaching matchup into play. Todd Monken, will he be able to do this again? You think they air it out again? You think they try to light it up?
Well, I think they should, because, and that's what I'm going to love to ask Monken tomorrow. What we saw Sunday, was that really a game plan, or was it the receivers were just that wide open? They say, okay, we got the talent, they're open, let's go with that. You know, forget the run game, we're going to go with what's open. You know, the proverbial, take what the defense gives us, and they have the weapons to do that. I don't know which is which, or if he's was a combination of the two. I don't know. But that's their strength. Ride that train with Fitzpatrick. The interesting thing about Fitzpatrick, Steve, that I've been hearing with all the national pundits, that I always call them the arguing shows, where they have a panel and they scream at each other, whether it be Stephen A. Smith or Nick Carter, what have you. Almost to a man, they say, it's a matter of time before Fitzpatrick turns into Fitzpatrick, where he becomes woeful. Very much like when they needed a win. I think it was against the Steelers a couple years ago. They get a win last week of the season, and the Jets go to the playoffs, and they had an atrocious game. Threw for like 3 picks. It was just an atrocious game. And all these national pundits say that's just a matter of time before that happens. So why don't you ride Fitzpatrick, since you have the weapons to throw to? Ride that train until the train falls off the tracks.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory, the way the pundits have said that. You know, well, wait for Fitz to be Fitz kind of thing. And frankly, for all the quarterbacks who are not at the elite level, you know, and let's say there's 10 elite quarterbacks in this league, 12 kind of thing. For all the guys who aren't at the elite level, you could say the exact same thing. So
Matthew Stafford the other night.
Yeah, however you want to break it down, all those guys who aren't in that elite class are going to have bum games and have a couple of bad stretches, Jameis included. You know, pick your quarterback not at that level. So I get it. I think there's some hope that Fitzpatrick has found his perfect offense here.
Yeah, you mentioned it before.
He's played really well with the Bucs, and so it gives some hope. You know, at least he's played 4 games, and we have something to judge. And in the 4 games as a starter, in the 2 games as a relief pitcher, he was amazing in Arizona, and against the Saints, he's got nothing done. So he pretty much has played 5 out of 6 games really well with the Bucs. Maybe the Bucs have a a good quarterback here. But if the offensive line, as Tucker said, is going to be tested because the Eagles have four good starters and they're rotating in Bennett and Derek Barnett. They've really got a six-man stud rotation. Chris Long is back, sack and a half the other night. So it might get ugly fast if they start trying to throw deep. This isn't the Saints. I just hope the Monken Cutter combination can figure out how to get the tight ends more involved this week, really spread it around. They have the weapons to do it. I would think they're going to throw first again.
I would hope so, only because, again, they have the weapons. But interesting stat here for you. Peyton Barber, of all the running backs who ran on first downs this week one, again, that's short sample size, Barber was either third or fourth best for running on first downs. He was averaging 5 yards a clip. What a coach is always talking about. Short distance, short field. Like a third and long is death knell. And Kenny Stabler used to say, too many third and longs, you'll be sleeping by yourself on your side of the bed. They always talk about short field. And Peyton Barber was giving him that. So I thought that was interesting that, you know, you and I, unfortunately, we've been so used to Doug Martin gets near the line of scrimmage, ducks his head, hopes he falls forward for 2 yards. Well, you had Peyton Barber out there busting his tail, getting 5 yards a clip on first down, making it a short distance.
Yeah, he was great early, but, you know, it's worth noting they came out, they threw a first play of the game. You know, they tried to set a tone there, and they did what they like to do, throw short to DeSean Jackson, you know, to take advantage of that early cushion that he always gets. I think he's going to be a big key to this game. If he can't go because...
And he did not practice Wednesday.
Right, because of the concussion shoulder situation. If he can't go, that really limits... That's going to help the Jim Schwartz sleep much better.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, you know, a lot of Bucs fans before a week ago thought, hey, maybe Jim, this would be a showcase game for Jim Schwartz as the next Bucs head coach. And a lot of that was fueled by yourself writing that the Bucs should have hired him.
Yeah, I know I wrote it, geez, I don't know how many times. And Justin Pulaski, our good friend the commission, on his podcast, Bucs Uncensored, was beating a drum to hire Jim Schwartz as a defensive coordinator as well. And, of course, you know, Dirk Cutter, depending who you listen to, had a handshake agreement with Mike Smith that he was going to be the DC.
All right, so for the official secretary, and the secretary, we don't put that in, we're thinking corporate secretary, official corporate secretary of the Ira Kaufman podcast, Javier, in Panama.
Executive assistant.
Secretary sounds better. He keeps track of all the predictions. I want to know, you guys are 0-1. We're in week two. We got mine. We got Ira's. Give us your call on this game. Lee, Ira and I are both picking a win. So this is your shot to make up some ground here if you're going the other way.
30-13 Eagles.
30. Ooh.
Yeah, those rookies in the corner. I'm scared to death of that. But I love your idea. It's very well thought out. You know, Justin Evans as the nickel corner. That's very well thought out. You know, the rookie, Jordan Whitehead, goes in there at safety. Like you said, at least in preseason, he's proved he could play. And you put him in there at safety, move to Evans, since he's so versatile. You know, Mike Smith talks about his versatility. He likes him a lot. He's been practicing nickel since training camp.
Sure.
So that's a smart move. That's a smart move, I think.
Well, JPP has got his banged-up knee, didn't practice. He may be able to play, maybe not. I think either way, it's going to mean more snaps for Will Golston. Now, this is a huge opportunity for Golston to get back to his 2016 form. Let's just say he starts, Lee, and he can be he's the player he was in 2016. Effective run stuffer, no pass rush. Well, that'll certainly help make the Eagles more one-dimensional. It'll make those blitzes you know, give them a little better opportunity if Foles has to really drop back. Great opportunity here for Golston no matter what happens, because Vinnie Curry's not going to play 100% of the snaps, and it looks like JPP, even if he's healthy, is probably only going to be used as a more of a, you know, a 50-40% kind of guy. So this is a big game for Golston. They're paying him a ton of money.
Yeah.
And gosh, you know, look like an above average player would go a long way in this game. You know, it's also what I like most about the Bucs now is at least the linebackers came out of this thing healthy. Last year we had Kwon get hurt in opening day, blew his hamstring, and halfway through the Minnesota game, Lavonte David's getting hauled off. So Maybe week two, maybe those guys can be part of that core that shines. Kwon really came on the second half of that game. I don't know. I just think if you can't come out and play hard and well after winning on opening day for your home opener against the world champs, then you have such systemic problems. I don't even know what to say. So I think they'll do pretty well here. Maybe I'm too wishful.
You know what's telling, and it could be disturbing if you're thinking about it even further?
Disturbing.
Yeah. Who? Did you see who they signed Wednesday? The Bucks off the street? Will Clark.
He's back.
Yeah, defensive end. Hint, hint. What's JPP? JPP play. Defensive end. Uh-oh.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, but they still need the depth there. But yeah, they already know he's banged up. It's bad, and gosh, Noah Spence, are they going to let this guy loose? I don't know. We know that's a bad situation. Everything smells bad around the Noah Spence deal when you start to think about it.
Well, you know, it was glaring for all to see when this guy, second-round draft pick, they pin a lot of hopes on him. His first healthy season back. He's had two banged-up seasons. He's playing in the fourth quarter in the final preseason game. That's like, you know, red flag city when a guy's doing that.
Yeah, and that flag is still flying. Now, one thing that I wanted to get to, which I think is really important for our hardcore Bucks fans, but first, Iris Podcast, it's available. Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, you can download. You don't download anything there. Actually, you can subscribe to the podcast there, and you get a free alert when it posts, so you don't have to start saying, where's the podcast? It'll just ding in your phone, and you got it. So you know, that's the best way to do it. Or, of course, just refresh at joebucksfan.com 7 times a day, click on all the ads, and you're good. What I think is important about the Hargraves thing is we almost know, because of this injury right now, we know, unless the rookies are extraordinary through the rest of the season, and Lord knows they're going to get their chances now, we already know where Jason Light is going in free agency, because Brent Grimes, odds of him coming back are slim. Vernon Hargraves, you can't bank on the guy coming off serious shoulder injury on the heels of a hamstring injury. So, and they're surely not going to pick up his fifth-year option with a shoulder injury. So you can't bank on him at all going into his fourth year. So Light almost has to pay for a big money cornerback come March, because you're not going to draft another corner if you just drafted two. So I think the Bucks offseason is starting to take shape, and if they can't fix this thing with a Breland who they might want to re-sign, I think you're already looking at the Bucks being forced into spending a big chunk of change on a cornerback.
Well, they have that chunk of change to sign. They got Marpet to sign. They got Donovan Smith to sign. They've got Quan Alexander to sign.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This changes the whole dynamic now, because what's more important?
A middle linebacker or a corner?
Yeah, a cornerback is more important in this league. So it changes everything. I think it puts a lot of stuff on hold, even those negotiations. And they got to sort of see, is Grimes going to come back? Is he going to be healthy? Do we have anything in these rookies? You know, who was the guy from the Rams that would have been great to get but was too expensive?
Oh, Trumaine Johnson?
Trumaine Johnson,
who's
right?
Not exactly lighting it up now. You know, for one game, of
right,
course.
Right, one game. So that's the kind of guy you're going to have to go after. You would think if your team is pretty good and you want to solidify it, you can't have a cornerback crisis again, mm-hmm. right? And Light's been all about sort of being a year behind the crisis situation. He was behind a year on fixing the receiving core. He was behind a year on fixing the D-line. So, you know, a lot of questions.
And the jury's
right
out there as well. We don't know if that's actually fixed. It was addressed, yes. We don't know if it's fixed.
Yeah, we got a lot of games to figure that out.
Well, here's something to think about as well, along the same lines, a cornerback. Do you go out and trade for someone? Now, nobody's going to trade a cornerback that has a prayer of making the playoffs. So you basically have to look at some team, Buffalo, for example, some team that's going to be out of the playoffs by the end of September, if they would be willing to trade a corner.
Right, but the problem is no team.
You want them.
Well, no team in the NFL believes they're out of it until they've played 6 games.
Okay.
So that's the problem, and where are the Bucks after 6 games? We'll find out. We still have Julio Jones coming up in Game 5. And the Bears,
Allen Robinson.
The Bears, like I thought, you know, are a good football team. It's not mm-hmm. a bad football team there, but there's no reason to write them off. But there's no reason to write the Bucks off, and that's why we have a game on Sunday. And the best thing about this is, Lee, and I think the silver lining is, we're going to find out this year if Carlton Davis and MJ Stewart, assuming they are healthy, we're going to find out if they can play, if they look the part. And that could go a long way toward advancing their development. And, you know, as Bucks fans, we want that. So, you know, we're going to find out. They should be better than they were. You know, they should get better. But, again, Mike Smith, the coaching staff, who knows?
I always hate the bang on Mike Smith because he's such a nice guy. But, gosh darn, can we see some results, please?
Yeah, nice guys. We could take him to dinner. We don't have to have him coach our football team. All right, Sage will be back on Tuesday for his podcast again. We appreciate it. Keep listening to the podcast, all of them this week. Bobby Fenton, I suppose, is up next this afternoon on JoeBucksFan.com. thanks to FanRetreat.com and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. We'll see you next week.